Joining us right now on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show is none other than the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs, with the Live of the Jazz Cat show. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
All right, you all set there?
All set, and, you know, the first thing I'd like to say today is, you know, peace and blessings to all of those in the way of the gigantic fire that's out there in Big Sur. You know, I'm feeling that personally, so definitely want to put that on the air for you folks. On a lighter note and a jazz tip, you know, we try to bring you the best in the music, whether they're the luminaries, as Gary would say, or, you know, the up-and-comers or the cats that are doing it now. I got one with me today, Mr. Marcus Strickland. What's happening, Marcus?
Oh, nothing much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely, man. I understand that you are burning up on the top floor in Brooklyn right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like an oven over here.
Well, you know, Marcus, you're one of the young cats on the scene, man, that's got it going on with the tenacious tenor energy and a sound that seems to captivate the young audiences into paying attention to this music.
Oh, yeah, it's been wonderful. So far, my career has been great, and I'm just loving that people are digging my music.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure you probably realize that, you know, jazz is not the most popular music of the young people in your generation, and you're a pivotal integer in the future of the continued evolution for this art form. Do you feel or even think about this when you compose or perform your music?
Not really consciously, but one thing that I make sure I do is that I don't police myself within the constraints of jazz. You know, I know a lot of musicians within jazz, they're so worried about keeping things pure with jazz, and I think that's absolutely the opposite of what we should be doing. We should allow things from modern times to, you know, to inspire us, because that's what jazz is. It's a sponge. It just sucks. It sucks from other things, and it extracts to other things, and it's inspired a lot of music today. And why not allow that to come into our music? And, you know, all you have to do is just be current. I mean, I was born at the dawn of the 80s, so a lot of that music kind of inspires what I'm doing now. And I find it kind of easy to just keep on track with the heartbeat of people today.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that. I had a talk with Terrence Blanchard, I remember, about the same thing. And, you know, I was always worried that the word jazz and the music that we love is going to get away from us because so many things are coming into it, and it's kind of differing from what we think of jazz. And, you know, his answers to me is just like, jazz is like a tree. Those are just extensions of the tree. It grows, and all of those things fit well within the confines of the music.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there should be no fear of losing the core of it, because the core is so strong. No matter how far you reach from it, it's still there. If you really did check out the fundamentals of this music, it'll come through, and no matter what you do. So you might as well have fun and do exactly what you want to do and experiment and have fun.
Well, you're certainly doing that, and we definitely love that. You're listening to Mr. Marcus Strickland right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. You know, it was at IAJE, I believe, the last time I was in New York, or it was in New York. So many young lovers of the music were surrounding you on the street after your performance, you know, wanting to get your music and find out what they can do to jumpstart their careers as brightly as you have. I mean, what are some of the things that you tell those students and lovers of the music?
Oh, I think the best thing I could tell them is to number one, try to get themselves to New York. It's not the only place where you can start your career, but it's definitely much easier compared to other places. Most of the bands that we listen to in jazz that are performing and touring, recording today, they're mostly based in New York. So it's good to get where the work is at. It's not really until you're established and touring under your own name extensively that you can really leave that core, you know, that core city, which is New York. So I that's the main thing I would stress to anybody who's serious about this, to at least jumpstart their career, to come to New York where all these great musicians are. It's a great network.
Well, it seems to be the mecca of the music, and for many years that has definitely been the place that everybody has left to. We have plenty of people from Los Angeles. I mean, I know you know Danny Grissett, Donald Vega, so many more cats from L.A. have always just made their way to New York, and that's where they do it.
Oh, definitely. It's, you know, if the city just lends itself to creativity, especially in jazz, you know, the sound of it is, it kind of reminds you of New York and how it moves and everything. And not to say that any other place can inspire, but it's just, you know, that's a very fundamental thing towards, you know, the growth of a musician to get into the, you know, a pond full of big fishes instead of a big pond full of small fishes.
You know, what I find is wonderful is that, you know, as you're developing and exploring your sound, you've chosen to record your albums with a number of different players as opposed to using one constant band. And, of course, the brotherhood, Mr. EJ, is the common denominator.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I try my best to make each album sound different. One thing to have a consistent band. You get a very good group sound, and you guys move telepathically. That's very ideal, but it's not always something that you're able to do as a musician these days. You know, with how hard it is to tour with the same band all the time, because everybody has to work with several bands in order to make money in this little tiny piece of the market that we got. What is that, 3%?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But it really is a pleasure to work with such great musicians. I'm always able to pull together some fantastic musicians, and so far it's been wonderful combinations that work very well on the recording and live.
Well, your latest album's entitled Open Real Deck. What is the process between thinking about a new album and actually taking the steps to produce it? Is the music written? Do you have themes in mind, or how does it all come together?
Oh, it's very very mapped out these days, because I'm putting out the records myself, so I have a deeper understanding of what exactly I want for the record. A lot of times I come up with the, you know, what I want for the album cover and title before I even record the music. It's very conceptualized before, and I think it has to do with how far you think ahead and how meaningful the music is to you. Hold on, I have a delivery here. Is this live?
Hey, that's real life, man. It's in Brooklyn, man.
Sorry. All right, cool. All right, thanks.
Marcus Strickland, right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. My name is Leroy Downs on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. I'm just letting you know this is what happens in Brooklyn. You know, you get your packages, everything's delivered to you. You got a new shipment of music.
Yeah, it's a little slice of the real life there.
That's right. Well, tell me a bit about Strick Music.
Oh, Strick Music, I started it in about 2006, and I kicked it off with a double record of mine called Twilight, And the reason I kicked it off with such a huge project is, first of all, because I had so much music piling up over the years. It had been about 3 years since I made a record. And second of all, I started my own record label because I wanted to get my music out without any, a small record company taking the project and not really doing much with it. That's what I experienced before, and I felt, you know what, I can do this myself better than them. And it, right. So far it's come to be true. As for a major label, it's a different story. They have much bigger staff and so forth, and there's actually some more money put forth towards advertising. But I've been able to promote myself pretty well myself, and we're getting ready to release a record that EJ just finished not too long ago. That's going to be either towards the end of this year or early next year. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to have so much control of your music. It just gets a lot of stuff out of the way, and the music gets straight to the audience.
Well, we just heard you turn into the secretary who answered the door to pick up the shipment and then back to Marcus, you know, when you hopped online, man. So you got to switch a lot of hats. Well, speaking of brother EJ, since most of the world is not twins, how did you and your brother seek out your instruments when you were young? I know EJ plays the drums, you got the tenor. Was it always like that, or how did it come to be?
It was about, we were about 11 years old when we were trying to decide what would be our elective classes for middle school. And it was basically a process of elimination. You know, we were like, oh, okay, we can't dance, we can't act, woodshop, no, singing, hell no. But we liked it. And, you know, the thought of playing an instrument kind of appealed to us. So, you know, once we told our dad that, he sort of took us under his wing and started explaining all those great records that he has been playing for us over all the years that we've been growing up. And that's actually probably part of the reason why we gravitated towards music. Because good music, great music, no matter what genre, whether it's jazz, pop, anything, it has always been in rotation on my dad's open reel deck stereo system. So, you know, that's how we got initiated into the thing. And my dad played drums, so my brother naturally wanted to be a drummer. And when our dad showed us favorite things, John Coltrane's version of Favorite Things, it wasn't the first time he had played it for us, but this time he explained what was going on. You know, he's like, that's the drums in the background, that's the saxophone in the front, that's the special saxophone, that's the soprano saxophone, and look how he takes the melody and plays it different each time. He was just explaining how things went on, and we, you know, started getting a more conscious appreciation for the music. And I guess, you know, that introduction to Coltrane really set me off, because I was like, hey, man, I want to play saxophone.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to EJ Strickland right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 4
there's Marcus Strickland.
Oh, see, I'm talking about brother EJ, Marcus Strickland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. On the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know I'm going to interview EJ as well, so that's kind of what I was thinking about, too.
Yeah.
You know, you chose to record this last album, Open Reel Deck, as a live project. I mean, describe the difference between the vibe in the studio versus the live session. Does the music thrive on the energy of the live audience?
Oh, definitely. There's a much different energy. People on the stage are going for broke because we don't have the convenience of taking another take. So, you know, it's a different kind of energy. Plus, you have people that you're playing for, and you thrive off of that too. And I really wanted to present the music on this record in particular live, because it's a music that's about interaction much more so than other jazz records. It's, you know, I mean, that's the kind of music that we're playing. As soon as we start, I start seeing people's heads groove, and not only their head groove, but their hips start grooving. When you get down there to the hips, that's when you know it's much more interaction than most jazz records.
And hey, you know, that's the key to the music. Get the hips moving, and it's all good from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I decided to go that route and have it performed live, and it came out well. I love the sound of live drums in particular. You know, it's a much more raw sound than the studio, you know.
Yeah. Well, the title Open Real Deck is a great homage to your father as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, that's a... You know, just in case anybody out there doesn't know what it is, it's an arcade piece of stereo equipment that, you know, it's just two big giant reels, and that's what my dad used to have for a long time. He was just playing all kinds of music on it: Earth, Wind, and Fire, James Brown, Freddie Hubbard, John Coltrane, Stevie Wonder, Jimi Hendrix. The list goes on, you know. That's my incubation period.
Hey, man, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, marketing to a new generation in the digital age is something that historians of the music did not have the advantage of. I mean, what are some of the other creative concepts that you're using to get your music heard globally? I mean, especially now that you're doing your own label, Strict Music.
Oh, that's the digital age is the main reason why a lot of small independent musician-owned record companies are popping up. It's because it kind of puts less importance on physical distribution, because now you have a central location where everybody can come to download music. So the key is advertising through you know, digital means, you know, maybe on websites or emails that you send out, and you just send a link and they just go to this central location rather than spending all this money on the now expensive gas.
Yes,
sending their actual car to ship about 5 copies of the CD to a store. And, you know, it's a much more convenient process than for both people, for the customer and for the distributor. So, you know, it's very easy now.
Well, it's so wonderful to take control of your own art form and, you know, control of your own life through the music. Marcus, we certainly appreciate you and what you're doing, man. You're one of the hot cats that's out there on the scene. He's got a brand new album, and you heard it. It's called Open Real Deck, and you can check Marcus out online where?
At MarcusStrickland.com.
There you go. Hey, man, thanks for coming on the show and hanging with us. I certainly appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen. Another stellar interview with Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat. And again, I encourage you to go to his website. Pretty easy to get to. Just like you heard the Jazz Cat, well, his website is www.thejazzcat.net. So remember, it's .net. And when you go there, you'll find all the archived interviews held exclusively on the show for locals only, aired on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. So if you want to get an insight into people like Ornette Coleman, or maybe go into the Diane Reeves rehearsals right on in her living room with Russell Malone, and or perhaps be in line at the Grammys along with Dee Dee Bridgewater, those are just some of the interviews that the Jazz Cat has held exclusively here on the show for locals only on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. So check it out. Again, the website is www.thejazzcat.net.